end. Brother Hagin, a great man of God, he said that very few people will actually be healed who have not heard. Isn't that something? Very few people will actually be healed who have not heard. Well, that's a man that's been in the ministry for some 60 years, so I would hope that he would know something. And here he says that hearing is so vital and so very important. So how's your hearing and how is your healing? Let's go over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 34. There was a demon-possessed person. How many ever seen any demon-possessed people? And we don't want to see demon-possessed people, but there are people that have yielded themselves to devils and demons and evil spirits. And Jesus happened to find an individual like that. Now, this person had no clothes on. Well, that right there should be a sign. You know, not well, today's the way, well, it's freezing outside too right now. But anyways, in summer, sometimes people don't wear too many clothes. But Jesus went across the lake, and there was a demon-possessed person on shore. Sure. Imagine that. This guy lived in the tombs. He had no clothes. I'm sure he was dirty and filthy. And the Bible says he'd cut himself with stones. So it was a very weird scenario and situation. And he was delivered, amen, by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was delivered. All the town folk got together because a bunch of pigs died in that same instance. And they said, Jesus, leave our territory. Leave our territory. So Jesus got in his boat and left. But the demon-possessed man, after he was clothed and in his right mind, said, Jesus, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. Right there, Jesus said, no. Jesus said, go back home and tell your friends and your family what God has done for you. Isn't that beautiful? The man is demon-possessed. He's a raving maniac. He wants to be with Jesus. But Jesus says, you go home and you tell your friends, you tell your family what I did for you. So here we go to the scripture of verse 38. And the man went out, of whom the devils were departed, and besought him, Jesus, that he might be with him. And Jesus sent him away. He said, return to your own house and show how great things God has done for you. And he went his way and published to the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for him. Verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, these are the people that sent him away. But when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received them. Everybody say, gladly received them. You see how happy he was that man went and talked to the people, the town folk, and said, Jesus touched my life. He changed me. He transformed me. And they're saying, yeah, we believe it. Man, the case, the state that you were in, you're hanging around tombs, you're sleeping, you got no clothes, you're a raving maniac, and you're clothed and in your right mind, Jesus delivered him and set him free. But it all happened because that man that was set free went to his home area and spoke of the good things that God has done to him. And when Jesus came back to that area, guess what? Hey, Jesus, come on in. Aren't you the same person that just told me, get out of town because we don't want to have anything to do with you? Yes, but because of the transforming power of our Almighty God, amen, it was received. So hearing is very vital and very important. Amen? Because hearing, we hear all kinds of things. Thoughts come to our minds and our heads. Many times I actually go to certain places. If you've ever, you could try this out for yourself. And just with your mind, you know, someone says, go over to, there's no Eaton's, but go over to Eaton's. It's over there in this small town. And you go there and you drive there. And in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, well, it's probably over in this situation. And 90-some percent of the time, whatever my mind said, it actually wasn't true. It was actually on the opposite side. It's just so funny how your mind can tell you things. Your mind could speak things to you and you could take them as fact and truth. But very truthfully is, your mind is just a revolving thing that takes in information and lets out information, thinks thoughts. But we got to have the mind of Christ to think in line with the Bible and what God's Word says. He'll always lead us by our spirits, but your minds, they've got to be renewed day by day. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Everybody say the renewing. The renewing of your mind. You got to renew that thing daily, just like you wash your face daily and you put on fresh clothes. Guess what? You got to continually clean that thing up. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you and I may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we've got to be careful of what comes into our mind gate. And so those people gladly received them after they heard. Over in Mark chapter 4, in verse 24, which is another wonderful scripture, Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, and we're talking about hearing and healing because they go hand in hand. Throughout the scriptures, you're going to hear hearing and healing, hearing and healing, hearing and healing, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Mark chapter 4, and verse 24 comes out and says here, I'm in Luke, okay, that's why. Mark 4 and verse 24, it said, verse 23, it says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. This is in red, so Jesus is talking. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Amen. Everybody say, take heed. What? You hear. You got to take heed to what you hear. Amen? I know I've been married for some almost 25 years, and many times I thought a certain thing, and I said, you know, I'm going to tell Cindy this, and that was a mistake. I should have shut my mouth, and I should have said, thought? That's not a good thought. I'm not going to be using that to get from here to here. Amen. I got to go from here to here first. Amen. And so different times. And there's times I've kept my mouth shut. And man, it worked out great. I tell you, things just worked like so wonderful. But many times, if you speak out of turn or speak, you know, the Bible says there's a very interesting scripture I just love. It says the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? The wrath of man. Amen. All of us have been upset at times. All of us have got wrathful or wanted to give somebody a piece of our mind. We're going to tell them off. We're going to rip out a strip. You know, there's so forth and whatever other sayings they have. But anyways, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. So I could get all high and puffy and give you a piece of my mind, but guess what? It's not working the righteousness of God. It's coming out, and it's coming out in the wrong way. Amen? The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I repay, and he's very merciful, and he's very kind, and we should follow those steps. But it says, take heed how you hear, for with the measure that you meet, okay, verse 24, for the measure that you meet, here comes the measure of hearing, for the measure that you meet, with what measure you meet, it shall be given unto you, and that which you hear, more shall be given. Isn't that amazing? That's an interesting scripture. With the measure that you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. It has to do with hearing. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18 says, take heed how you hear, for whosoever hath shall be given more, and whosoever hath not shall be taken that which he seems to have. You know, you can lose what you have spiritually. Oh, no, I'll never do that. I'll never know it. If you just lay dormant and do not continually hunger and thirst after the things of God, you can lose it. You can lose all the good things spiritually that you have. God doesn't want us to lose. He wants us to continually come forth, amen, and continually grow in the things of God. I'm just thinking of our friend there that went to Tulsa, amen, and it was a good time, and things happened, and the move of the Spirit was there, and God was ministering and touching people, amen. But you get away from that atmosphere, and a lot of times you just can go back into your old ways of thinking and old ways of doing. God doesn't want us to do that, and it's just not a one-time thing. I'm talking about daily fellowshipping with God, moving in the Spirit of God, talking to God, amen? Reading the Bible. And I think today's society is very lacking, because I see my own self, how I could be lacking. When I got born again in 1987, I hungered for the thing. I read read the thing. I wrote the thing. I scribbled the things down. We put scriptures. We put them on mirrors. We put them on refrigerators. We put them everywhere because it meant so much to us. But today we've got so much technology. You know, somebody else will do our praying for us. Somebody else will do our preaching for us. Somebody else will do our praising for us. And we just sit by there and just shh, shh, shh. And now I'm on Instagram. And man, there's a lot of stuff on there. Woo! I tell you, just look at motorcycles or something there, and you can just spend hours going through everybody. Wow, look at that old one. Look at that one. You can go over and over and over. There's no end to it. And it's whatever. It's just a whole world unto itself. It just amazes me. And so everybody knows everything and does everything about everything, and we don't have to do nothing on our own, so to speak. We just sit and watch, you know, watch and watch and watch and watch. Brother Hagin had that story about the owls. The owls, you know, there was a couple of pans, and someone found a couple of baby owls and fed them, and they would just sit there, and they each had two pans, and they wouldn't eat out of the other owl's pan. They got pretty big. They were very big owls, eh? And he said every day they would throw some food for them in these pans, and these owls would eat, and they'd be like this looking. And eating and eating and eating. And then as soon as you would walk in the house and you look through the window and look, and then they start going like this. And he said, that's like the people at church. All the people at church is, amen, amen, amen. And then they get home, they're like this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so we're going to believe God's word. We're going to trust in God. So it says, with the measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you. The dictionary meaning for hearing is to perceive with the ear, to learn by the ear. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. We've got to continually hear God's word as he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. So much more went the fame of Jesus abroad, and great multitudes came to hear and be healed. Everybody say, hear, and be healed. See, they go hand in hand. You're not going to know that it's God's will for health and healing unless the Bible tells us it's God's will for health and healing. So these guys went to hear and to be healed. To hear and to be healed. You've got to continually let God's word hear. You got to hear that word, and then you've got to actually believe it and put it into operation. You know, it's not going to happen just because, you know, we had a glorious time praising God and worshiping God. Oh, the presence is nice, hey? Yes. But if you want a little bit more, you go ahead and enjoy it and go into it, and then you start praising God yourself. Amen? Thanking him for his goodness and for his grace and for his mercy. And thank God for the believing part. We must believe with every fiber of our being. But guess what? If we don't go a little bit farther, and faith is an act. Brother Hagin says that there is a switch of faith. It's a switch of faith. It's like you'd switch the light bulb on or the light switch on in the building. It's a switch of faith. And it's taking what you've heard and operating in it and saying, yes, it is mine. You don't say, God's going to heal me sometime. Guess what? Sometime may never, ever, ever come on this earth. Yeah, when you get to heaven, praise God. We love the glory and we love the praise. But faith is an act, and it's an act right now. Amen? And to flick the switch of faith, you're going to have to say, thank you, Lord. It is mine. I believe it right now. Amen? None of this future business. Yeah, thank God for the future of golden streets and so forth. But I'm not concerned about that. That's my position and place. I'm going to have a great time, you know, running around, seeing Granny. Hopefully my Grandpa Nestor Mintanko made it there. That would be great. Hey, Grandpa! You know? He died with a smile on his face. Even though he didn't live for the Lord, my mom preached to him while he was in a coma. He fell once. He was 80-some years old. He fell. He banged his head. My mom says, I'm going to call Oral Roberts' prayer line in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she went and she picked up, grabbed the phone. And immediately when she grabbed the phone, she knew he was healed. And he came right out of that coma. Amen? And then he fell again. that Nestor. And he banged his head, and they put him in the hospital. I believe he's 84 years old. And my mom went there, and she spoke to him and talked to him, amen, about the Lord, because you're wide awake. You're in a coma or whatever. Those people say that your just senses are right there. You're listening to every word. They're like this. And I did visit somebody in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It was a young girl that was on a motorcycle, and the two motorcycles they were driving without lights, which is not recommended, and they smashed into each other. So she was a paraplegic, I believe it was, or something like that. So I thought I would just go and say hello to her, since knowing her being alive and walking around, so to speak. And so I went to Saskatoon, and I talked to her, and you would think she was a vegetable. But she had this little thing where she could move these little numbers on it. And we actually communicated a sentence, and she was actually more intelligent than me. Just to let everybody hear, the person understood so much and could write. And then I said, man, you're just... And she says, well, get real, you know. She's lame, and she's crippled. She's a paraplegic, but yet inside she was so sharp and so understanding on the inside. So God Almighty needs to get that word to your ear. Amen? And we've got to listen to God to be able to put it into practice. So my grandpa, he did die, and he had a smile on his face, and I pray that she did pray with him and told him how to receive Jesus, told him about Jesus, everything in a coma. So when you get to heaven, you say, hey, is Nestor here? Yeah, he's over there. Amen? And he was a good carpenter, some skills that I didn't get from him. But anyways, so the first thing in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, hear and be healed of their infirmities. Hear and be healed of their infirmities. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:10 says there's all kinds of voices in the world and none without signification. And so there's all kinds of voices in the world and none without signification. It says there are so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. So there's all going to be all kinds of voices that you have to deal with. Now, again, I don't want anybody to say, oh, I'm hearing voices, I'm this and that. No, I'm just talking about impressions that come to your mind. Hey? Impressions that come to your mind, right? Like, what are you thinking right now? And so the impressions that come to your mind, you're going to have to say, hey, what's that that impression that spoke to me? Amen? Is this right? Is this correct? Is this true? Is this Bible? Or is this just malarkey and garbage? Or is this leading me astray? Any voice, any thought that brings doubt and discouragement is not from Almighty God. Almighty God's are always, my ways are peaceful. My paths are peaceful. I bring joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. They're good things. So anything that tells you you can't make it, or you don't have enough money, or you don't have this, you don't have that, don't even pay it any attention or any mind. And if you want to do good, you'll speak against it and say, I don't believe that. I believe this. I believe that God is the supplier of me. Amen? God is supplying my needs according to His riches and glory. When it comes to health and healing, thank God that He took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that heals me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, Lord. I believe that I receive it. Amen? So those voices that come to you, you deal with them. You say, no, I'm not listening to that voice. This voice I'm going to listen to. This is a good voice, and so I'm going to, or a good impression, I'm going to listen to that voice. So there's many impressions in the world, many voices, but you have to weigh them out to see exactly which is the voice of what I want to take into myself and to believe. You know, many a person has failed to receive their healing because they said, well, you know, I'm a sinful person, or I'm this, or I'm that. No, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's Jesus Christ and His blood that washed us all, cleansed us. If you sinned and miss it, you just say, confess your sin. Lord, sorry about that. I missed it. And the Bible says He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. We are a holy people, and we're walking in what God has called us to. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 39, Luke 4 and verse 39, we're talking about hearing and healing because they go hand in hand. Hearing and healing because they go hand in hand. So if you have some ailments, and we all go through things, there's all kinds of sneezes, snuffles, and all kinds of things that we go through. But guess what? The Lord is the one that heals me. And yes, the Spirit of God can speak to you and say, hey, stay away from that certain thing. There could be some things that are actually hindering and hurting you. Brother Hagin said he didn't drink coffee. I drink coffee. I enjoy it, especially with some flavored creamer. But anyways, he didn't drink coffee, and he didn't believe in it. But he loved ice cream. His son said he eats a pail of ice cream. So I don't know if a whole pail, does that sound good to you to eat a whole pail of ice cream? We're getting him back. But anyways, we got a lot of his stories. So anyways, and so maybe the Spirit of God will talk to you about your health. Amen? I went on Memorial to the Spice World. There's a new place called Spices there next to Enterprise, and I got some spices. I went in there and I said, hey, what's the healthiest thing you got here? And he was in East India, and he said, he's got this and he's got this. And so I took some and put it in my smoothie. I don't know, I feel great today. But anyway, I don't know what it said or what it is, but it does say that it's really healthy for your immune system and so forth and so on. The place gets flooded, eh? And it's cheap too, $1.75, you can't go wrong with that. It doesn't taste that good. But anyways, apparently it's some herb or spice. And so thank God for it. But over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 39, Luke chapter 4 and verse 39, Luke chapter 4 and verse 39, and Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever. Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever. This was Peter's mother-in-law. Now he goes into the room, and all of the voices would say unto him, your mother-in-law's got a fever. Your mother-in-law's sick. Your mother-in-law's this. Your mother-in-law's that. Guess what? He rebuked that fever. You can talk to fevers. Obviously, yes. Jesus spoke to a fig tree once and said, no man eat fruit hereafter forever. The fig tree was saying, I got no fruit. I'm fruitless. I don't have any fruit for you. And he said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter. And here, Peter's mother-in-law, the fever is raging, and Jesus speaks to the fever. Talk about the power of the spoken word. You say, I'm not going to speak to no fever. Yeah, you speak to the fever. If you've got a fever, you say, fever, in Jesus' name, you leave. Amen? You go. And with any ailment, he forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. Does that mean that you don't fight at times sickness and disease? Of course I do. But the scriptures tell us to hear. If we want to be here and healed, then we're going to have to hear scriptures on healing and what he says about healing. And so it says here that Jesus rebuked the fever in verse 39 and he stood over her. Verse 38, and he arose and came to the synagogue and entered into Simon Peter's house. This is Luke, and Luke, who's talking, happens to be a doctor, and so he's a physician. He knows all about fevers, and he's talking about this scenario and situation. And he arose and he came to the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. The other gospels say she was with a fever, but him being a doctor, Luke, he says, this woman's got a great fever. And he rebuked that fever. He stood over her and he rebuked that fever. And guess what? It left. And immediately the woman arose and ministered unto him. I like to say that, you know, sometimes people want to be healed just so they can go play games and stuff. Well, hey, the woman got healed and then ministered in the situation and went and helped get some food together, natural food, and feed Jesus and so forth and so on. So he heard something, the fever was speaking unto him, but he rebuked that fever and he said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I rebuke you. And we can do the same thing, the exact same thing. Over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, and Luke has a lot of scriptures on hearing. He talks constantly about hearing, hearing, hearing. So whosoever come to me and hear these sayings of mine, Jesus is talking, and do them, I will liken him unto a man that built a house. And he dug deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose and the streams did beat vehemently against that house, he could not shake that house, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen? So that is people that hear God's word and do it. Believe it, of course, and do it. Hear God's word and do it. But he that heareth and doeth it not is like a man who built a house on a foundation just on top of the earth, and the streams beat vehemently. Isn't that funny that the person that does the word of God gets a storm, and the person that doesn't do the word of God gets a storm? Both get storms, but one person stands. Amen? The person that stands is the one that believes and puts that word into operation. He says, I believe it, and I'm acting on it. I'm believing it, and I'm acting on it. God is supplying my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Jesus, you took my sicknesses. You bore my infirmities, all my pains, my sickness, my aches, everything. You bore it. So I'm giving it to you, and I thank you for your health and your healing in my body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe that I receive my healing. Let's all say that together. I believe that I receive my healing. Let's do it once more. I believe that I receive my healing. Amen. And of course, healing is from Almighty God. Hear and be healed. But he that hears and doesn't do the word of God is like a man that built a foundation on earth, and which the streams did beat vehemently upon it, and immediately it fell. I grieve in my heart for those that have come to know God in a personal way, in a loving way, and then they don't quite continue in the things of God. It grieves me because Satan got a hold and made a trickster in their lives and got them off the path that God wanted them to be on. Amen? I believe that every suicide when someone takes their life so young is just a lie from the pit of hell. God had absolutely nothing under the face of the sun to do with that situation of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl taking their own life. That is demonic from hell. The Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen? Such treasures that God's word has for every single believer. All they have to do is believe it. All they have to do is act on it and say, yes, I know, I love you, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you have a plan and a purpose, a will and a desire. Amen. All things are possible. Praise God. All things are possible. And the treasures that you have and I have by knowing God intimately in a personal way, guess what? That is something that you should just be so happy for and thankful for and say, thank you, Lord, that I believe in you. I'm trusting in you. I'm looking to you every single moment of every single day. And which the streams did beat and immediately fell, and great was the ruin thereof. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 talks about the different soils. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, which talks about the soils. And it says here, that the good soil is the soil that in a good ground, a good heart, has heard the word of God. Everybody say, heard the word of God. And keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. And bring forth fruit with patience. But they on good ground are they in which an honest and a good heart. Just someone that's humble and saying, Lord, I need you. I can't heal myself. I can't deliver myself. I need you. I need a good and an honest heart. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So God Almighty wants us to bring forth fruit with patience. So that's number one. We got to hear. Now the price was paid for your healing. In Psalms chapter 103 and verse 3, it says, who forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases. Who forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases. He forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were. Were is past tense. Amen? Were. Do we have any English people here? that know English. Is were. Past tense, there's a school teacher there in the midst there by a distinguished young gentleman. Is were past? What is it? What is were? She says it's past tense, so I'm going with her 100,000%. Amen. I had trouble with the its. You know, it is, it. There's three different its and theirs. But anyways, were, who himself bare our sicknesses on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The price has been paid on Calvary's cross. Jesus paid the price for us. And all we have to do is say, I believe that I receive it because the price was paid. Now, how did he do it? He did it according to Isaiah 53:1-12. Now, I'm going to read this whole thing for you because this is how Jesus did it. This is how Jesus brought you and I healing. He is a wonderful Savior, but he is a wonderful healer. Amen? He is our healer. He is the one that healeth thee. Amen? And so this is the whole amount of scriptures, and I'm going to read it, and you can take a look at it. In Isaiah 53:4-5, and we say this because it says in Matthew 8:17, which you don't have to turn there, but it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So here it is, Isaiah 53:1-12. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant. Now this is Isaiah, the prophet of God, prophesying 700 years before Jesus Christ came to earth. So you got a 700-year prophecy that is written by who knows what the guy looked like, Isaiah, and he spoke this down from the Spirit of God, and they wrote it down, and they were all looking forward to it, and Jesus Christ came and fulfilled every little bit of it 700 years later. So who hath believed their report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He is no form of comeliness that we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him, which is amazes me right there. This is the Son of God, but he had earthly parents that came from that part of the world. His mother, for sure. His dad was the Holy Ghost. But still, so the mother, and so only God knows. But anyway, she was born of a virgin, and the Bible says there was no commonness. So there wasn't like he wasn't walking around with dynamite shooting out of his head, you know, lightning like July 1st. Wow, he's like one of those Twizzlers. Oh, there's Jesus, yeah. Oh, there he goes, and he's on top of that house right now. No, there's no beauty that you should desire him. He's like, hey. He could, you know, I don't want to say anything derogatory. But he's like your average truck driver. No, he's Jesus, but yet you have to understand that he is a man that's anointed by the Spirit of God. That's the only way he did those miracles. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't have an opportunity to partake in that. He was a man anointed by the Spirit of God. The Bible says his first miracle was at 30 years of age. 30. Everybody's got him doing miracles. He's 10 years old. Heck, you know, but the Bible says his first miracle was at Cana of Galilee when he was 30 years old. He had to be anointed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God had to come upon Jesus. We all got him that he did everything. Now, Brother Hagin told a story, which was very interesting, about Jesus. And Jesus says that they think that I healed like this. If I healed like that in my own hometown, I would have went and got several blind people and brought them forward, get the doctor, check them out, make sure they're blind, get several paralyzed people, bring them down, check with the doctor, are they paralyzed? Yes. Get several leprous people, get them down here, five of them, and check them. Are they leprous? Yep, they're leprous. And get several other people that have tremendous problems, bring them down and put them there, and I'll just show you I'm the Son of God. Boop, and they're all healed. He said that didn't happen that way, because in his own hometown, the Bible says that they thrust him out of his own hometown and wanted to take him to the brow of the hill and throw him off the hill and kill him. They want to kill our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and throw him off the hill because he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to poor. He sent me to heal brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives, recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And yet nobody believed it. And he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief because they did not receive that healing touch from Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? And yet Jesus said, that's what I would have done. That's the way everybody thinks I've healed, but I didn't. It was those that believed. Those that believed and those that would receive their healing. Amen? And then that puts us all together in the same camp. That's why he says, you go, and greater works than these shall you do, because God Almighty is with you. Amen? And so that makes healing available for everybody, and everybody can participate in healing, and actually everybody can heal. Hallelujah. You couldn't heal an ant. I'm talking about through the power of the Spirit of the living God. There was a man, and his name was Rick, and he died now. He was living on Asif Court. He got born again, just a fresh Christian, fresh. He picked up a book there, and it was Christ the Healer. He read it. He went and prayed for a man with cancer, and the guy was healed just like that. Isn't that amazing? Simple, childlike faith. All things are possible. So with Jesus Christ here and this man, Isaiah prophesying about him, it says here, he was rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces, and he was despised and esteemed him not. And you understand, it wasn't like Jesus was walking around crying all day, you know. Yeah, he was a man of sorrow and afflicted and so forth and so on. But the Bible also says, you got to take the Bible as a whole. He was a man with the oil of joy. He was a happy camper. Amen? Jesus was a happy, happy camper. I'm talking about the day when he had to go to the cross and laid it all down. And it was the Father's will. You're going to go to the cross. You're going to die for every single human being on the face of the earth. You did not sin, son, but you're going to die. And you're going to put you to death, my own son. They're going to die, but in 3 days, take courage. I'll raise you up from the dead by the power of the Spirit of God. And now Jesus has a name above every name. He walks in this place, every knee is going to bow. There's not one knee that won't bend to the name of Jesus Christ. The whole earth, 7 billion, 8 billion, whatever we're at right now, we're going to bow the knee to this man, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not one knee is not going to bend. Every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. So he paid the price, and that's why he's our Lord and our Savior, our Master and our friend. And you would do, and I would do good to believe and accept him and trust him for salvation. So it says here, he was esteemed him not surely, right there, surely. He has bore our griefs and pains. A better rendering would be sickness and pains. People who have done in-depth study in the Hebrew said this word means sickness and pains. Surely he has bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, our sickness and our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. Our transgressions is just disobedience. But he was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. This is a 700-year-old prophecy before Jesus came on, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us turned, everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity or the sin of us all at that moment at the cross. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought to as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. When it says rich, it just means not rich towards God. They're only rich in their things that they possess, but not rich to Almighty God. In his death, because he did no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Father to bruise him, to put him to grief. to sickness, to pains. Then thou shalt make a soul for the offering for sin. He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be justified. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities, sins. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and was made intercession for the transgressions. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isn't that beautiful? So it says, come and be, and hear and be healed. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And those watching by live stream, we thank God for you. Amen. The Bible says we are to hear and to be healed. Hallelujah. Let's all thank him. Amen. This morning. Father, we want to thank you, and we want to bless you, and we want to praise you. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you so very much. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for health, for healing, for deliverance. Amen. Oh, Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. You thank him. You worship him. You praise him. For he's worthy to be praised. The Bible says you got to hear and be healed. That's your responsibility to open up your ears to his voice. It's your responsibility to hear what the Spirit of God would be saying. Oh, Father, we want to thank you. Hallelujah. For health, for healing. Thank you, Father. We turn the switch of faith. We say that I believe that I receive my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, Lord. We don't fear, hallelujah, sickness, disease, woe, because we're trusting in you. Hallelujah. Those by watching by live stream, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. For health, for healing, for deliverance. For with God, all things are possible, but all things are possible to him who believes. So, Father, we believe your word. We're trusting in your word. Thank you, Lord God. So is there anybody in this place that has some serious ailments? Hallelujah. That they would lift up their hand and say, I have a serious ailment. Hallelujah. I have a serious ailment that I need help. Okay, come on down. Amen. If you've got a serious ailment, come on down. Stay 6 feet apart. Thank you, Father. That's only serious ailments. If it's not serious, then don't come. Amen. Amen. You don't want something serious to come upon you. Thank you, Father. Everybody praying, believing God for these. Amen.